Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, August 30th, 2015, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, this evening's topic is Back to School Etiquette Part 3, so please stay tuned. Well, once again, I want to welcome our new listeners and our loyal listeners. Thanks so much for being a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. We are so delighted that you are spending part of your Sunday evening with us, and we thank you so much for that. Well, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway, we want to make sure that we answer that question first. So we're going to take a brief moment just to talk about the origin of etiquette, especially for the benefit of the new listeners. Etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, the word etiquette actually comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. And, of course, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And I am so thankful to Charles I and II for doing that. Well, once again, Back to School Etiquette Part 3. We are in our Back to School Etiquette series. Those of you who may be joining us for the first time, get ready. We're just going to be a very interesting show. We want to know who's responsible for the condition of the buildings and the bathrooms at your children's school, or perhaps the recreation center. Now, due to an overwhelming response to our Back to School Etiquette show with Dr. Tom Keating, he is a friend of the show, he's certainly no stranger, we went ahead and extended out to a part three. If you want to send us a message, you can do so. Also, if you'd like to give us a call, you may do that by calling area code 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295, or you can simply send us an email at etiquetteladiesplural@gmail.com. Well, once again, I want to welcome Dr. Tom Keating with Project Clean. How are you, Dr. Tom? Dr. Tom, can you hear me?
Yes.
How are you?
Yes,
How are you this evening?
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
I can now. Happy Sunday to you.
Well, thank you. I went back in one of my files, Donna, and I found somewhere from 2004 or 5 a list of school pride issues. And I was just thrilled that we have been talking and working together for over a decade. And I'm very glad. I hope we have our guests tonight. If not, I'll be glad to share some thoughts. So it's a delight to be here.
Well, wonderful, and welcome again. And wow, so it's been about a decade. Oh, that's wonderful. Time just flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yep.
And especially when you're taking care of etiquette duty. Well, listen, we do have a special guest as well here with us. And his name, in fact, I will let you introduce Roderick. Dr. Tom, you can go ahead and introduce Roderick. He is on the line with us. Hi, Roderick.
Good afternoon or evening.
Yes, I'll be glad.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, Rod.
Okay.
Donna, can you hear Mr. Roberts?
I can. And actually, Tom, for those new people who may be joining us for the first time, before you introduce Roderick, would you be kind enough to just let them know who you are?
Sure. My name is Tom Keating. I've been a teacher and an educator 45 years, and for 21 of those years, I've been working to improve for students school restrooms in their schools and in other public restrooms. And tonight's guest is Rodriguez. He goes by the shorter first name, Rod, and his last name is Roberts. So Rod Roberts, that's a tongue twister. Mr. Roberts and I have worked together in the past. He is what's known as a plant engineer, which means the highest ranking custodial, maintenance, and all around handy person who gives all the leadership and makes the building work for a very fine school in DeKalb County called the Druid Hills High School. And so I gladly introduce for a discussion on etiquette as it relates to custodians, my friend Rod Roberts.
Rod, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And one of the main reasons that we wanted to bring you onto the show, we were talking about, of course, you know, some of the duties at the school in reference to the building itself and particularly the school restrooms, who, of course, we know that Dr. Tom has been really, you know, fighting over the last 20 years or so to make sure that the school bathrooms are in great working condition for our children. And so I do recall one question in particular that was posed on last week. They wanted to know if there are custodians in every building. And I think that answer or that question may have been posed because of some of the conditions of some of the schools. So I would kind of like to just start there, if we could, Rod. And if you, you know, be kind enough to answer that question, and then just kind of talk about your role, because, you know, some of the kids seem to think that it is the custodian's job to do everything, including pick up after them. And, of course, you know, we've told them more than one occasion that they are responsible for cleaning up after themselves. And of course, when they go to the restroom and wash their hands, to throw the paper towels in the trash can and not on the floor and so on and so forth. So if you would just kind of, you know, whatever you would like to share in terms of, you know, the upkeep, you know, of the building. And I'm hearing a little feedback in the background. I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm not sure. And so, okay, I think it may be gone now. So I'll make sure the background is really relatively quiet. And I think I still hear something. I'm not quite sure. Okay, Ross, so if you want to...
I'm here. Can you hear me clearly?
Okay, I can hear you now, yes.
Okay. The first part of the question was whether there are custodians in the schools. All of the CAD schools have custodial staff, the elementary, mm-hmm. middle, and high school. And to be honest with you, if anybody in DeKalb County is asking that question, there's probably a bigger problem than what we realize, because the custodial staff should have a presence in the building at all times for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the conversation is about whose responsibility it is. You know, when school is out during the summer, the custodial staff is there to sort of rejuvenate the building, bring it back to life in terms of making sure that everything is in great operating condition before the students and the teachers and the staff returns. So it's almost like at the beginning of the school year, the building is given back to the students and the staff in one of its best conditions. And then from there, it's an issue of maintaining it. And so the conversation is more about how we partner up to ensure that the way it starts out on the first day, how can we transition throughout the school year and not deviate too much from that?
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and start with some of the questions that we have already began to receive. Here is one that says, Dear Etiquette Lady and Guest, I've listened to your show for the past 2.5 years, and I've heard Dr. Keating before. The parents at my school and I have decided to stock toilet tissue and paper towels for our school third grade class. Also, we visit the school frequently to check out the bathrooms. Dr. Keating is right when he says the bathrooms in the front of the building are in better shape than others. The parents in my group monitor and make sure all the bathrooms are nice and hygienic. And this is Daisy from McDonough, Georgia. And she also says, also thank you for the great info you bring to the show. Thank you so much, Daisy, for that. And I think, and Tom, I'm going to let you kind of address this because, again, for those who may not have had an opportunity to listen to part one or part two, we're talking about ways to make sure that, you know, the bathrooms are in good condition. And you could just kind of talk about that just briefly, if you would, Tom. So just want to make sure my audience is kind of up to date on what's going on.
I'd be glad to, but I also want to share the question with Rod, because as he said very clearly, when you come to school the first day, the school is tip-top. Things are working, and it's a matter of everybody partnering and working together as a family to keep them as well and as up to date. So when your parent talks about bathrooms away from the front hall, this is, again, something I hope Rod will comment on. Many times, because we have guests, we spend extra time on the front area of the building and not as much in the hallways that are far away or the locker rooms. And it's my belief that any parent who cares about the school should, with a friend or a person of another gender, go through and look at the restrooms the same way they go through and look at the cafeteria or the library. And maybe Rod can reflect on sometime in November what happens to those bathrooms farther away from the front hall.
Well, I can tell you, as a plant engineer, many of us arrive there at the buildings before anybody else does. And I can only speak for myself, and I'm sure many of them probably share the same sentiment, and that is the restrooms is a concern of mine, particularly because, I you know, when you talk about 4 out of 10 students in middle or high school are holding themselves all day long, definitely that's not a healthy way to go throughout the school day. And, you know, the other side of it is, what I try to do is when I get there in the mornings, I go in and I unlock all the restrooms. I personally unlock all the restrooms. So I'm not just looking at the front restrooms. I'm down in the gym, locker rooms, and I'm assessing them just as critically as I am the one in the main office each morning. So, you know, I try and emphasize that also. So, you know, and that's a matter of accountability, not just to the custodial staff who closes the building at night to ensure that when you open the doors the next morning, it's ready to go 100% stocked, clean, and, you know, all sanitized. But, you know, to the teachers and to the staff who are monitoring those areas, if it be in their, you know, the area like the coaches down in the locker room and so on and so forth, that they are holding their students accountable. And I often say that in the high school, they're not kids. They're young adults. And if it's a matter of graffiti or vandalism, they need to be held accountable, because we're doing them a disservice if we don't hold them accountable. Once they go out into society, or which they really are out into society at this point as young adults, 17, 18 years old, if they're creating, you know, graffiti or vandalism, they're going to be charged. So it's imperative that we, you know, hold them accountable in the school so that they understand the seriousness of it from that standpoint, from a legal standpoint, but also from a wholesome, like I say, an etiquette standpoint. No one wants to use a restroom with trash all over the place or writing all over the walls or uncleanliness and so on and so forth. So it's just a general great concept to be able to work together and educate. I think that's the biggest problem that we have is an educational component that we're not addressing when it comes to how do we care for our buildings, our grounds, in particular our restrooms.
Right. And it is certainly the responsibility, like you're saying, it's a shared responsibility. You know, the students, the custodians, administration, parents. And the parents may be thinking, okay, well, how is it our responsibility? Well, it's a parent responsibility to make sure that your children certainly take pride in where they go to school at, just like, you know, they would take pride in keeping their home nice and neat as well. And I do understand there are some children out there that may have housekeepers, and that's great. However, I don't think any of the schools that I know of have, you know, particular housekeepers specifically for cleaning up after the children. So I know we always certainly, you know, encourage our students to make sure that you clean up, you know, after yourself. In case you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are in the midst of our Back to School Etiquette Series Part 3. We are talking with Dr. Tom Keating. We are also speaking with Rodriguez, who is a plant engineer. He's explaining to us about the school is ready. You know, the building is nice and neat. But, of course, it does then become the responsibility as well of the students to help keep it that way. And his name, once again, is Rod Roberts. Now, I know that, Rod, you had said that there are custodial staff in every area. We do have listeners that are listening in different states. So I'm not sure what state, when the lady posed that question last year, I wasn't quite sure which state she was from. But I do have a question that says, Dear Etiquette Lady, are the schools and custodians responsible for providing paper products such as towels, soap, tissue, etc.? Many times my children say these products are not there. And this comes from Clara Charles in Ohio. Thank you, Clara, for that.
Well, let me give a beginning answer to that, Donna. Mm-hmm. We have 15,000 school districts. And just like we have towns and cities, each jurisdiction addresses its issues slightly different and slightly the same, often the same. So if you come to a school and there's toilet paper in the stalls every morning checked, the night crew checking it, the custodian crew supplying it, then yes, the school district, with your tax dollars, puts the toilet paper in. However, if a teacher says, Johnny, you've got a cold, go get some tissue, instead of Johnny having the tissue or a handkerchief in his pocket, sometimes Johnny goes into a restroom and pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls. Sometimes teachers go into a restroom and take towel after towel after towel to do some project in their school, in their classroom. So the custodian is caught, in my estimation, because if you put a roll of toilet paper in and someone uses it appropriately, there should be a certain number of sheets that are used for hygiene, and the towels are used for drying. But if you see any variation on that, very soon the towels and tissues may be not stocked. Sometimes also, in school districts, the box that contains the towels or the toilet paper dispenser are cheap because many school districts have a belief that you put cheap things in and maybe replace them, maybe not. They don't put in, say, a nice air dryer that you would see in a hotel or in a movie theater restroom. So the issue is complicated, and that comes back to what Mr. Roberts said, which is we're partnering in this, we're teaming up in this. So if a child uses toilet paper, throws the two towels away after drying, there's plenty of towels in most school districts in the country. But if you're very poor, if there's been abuse, there is the possibility that you can go places where the supplies are not there.
Okay, and I know I have gone into schools before because I teach the school etiquette, and I've actually seen rolls, you know, the entire roll of toilet paper just sitting in a toilet like it's going to flush, and rolls of toilet paper do not flush down the toilet. I've also seen situations where kids are playing with the paper towels, and I'm getting some background noise again. It's some kind of clicking or ticking noise, and I don't know if you guys might be on a speakerphone or anything and maybe picking up something behind you, but I'm ask you to come off if you wouldn't mind. But with the paper towels, I have certainly seen Okay, hello. I'm getting a lot of background.
No, I'm not on speaker, and I don't hear any static, Donna.
Okay.
I'm not on speaker, and neither do I hear very clearly.
Okay. I'm just hearing something in the background. And listeners, I do apologize for that. But as I was saying, with the paper towels, I've seen children actually have paper towels. I guess they fold them over so that and put them over the water fountain so there could it looks like a waterfall or something. I'm not quite sure of that. Any kids listening, you might want to call and let me know what that's about. But we do know what that's about is being wasteful. But we're talking about how not to be wasteful. And this is certainly, it's certainly a team effort to make sure that the buildings remain nice. And Rod, I would like to ask you this question. I know that you are at a high school. And just let me ask you, what are some of the things that you see the students doing that you would like for them to stop doing or something they may not be doing and they need to do?
Well, you've already mentioned some of those things, and even though it's a high school setting in many cases or in some cases, the behavior may not have graduated from middle school or even in some cases grade school. You know, and again, I think part of that is the education process in terms of, I don't know how many of our students actually know that, you know, maybe half the world does not have toilets and how fortunate they are to have facilities such as that we have. So I think once we begin to educate them and let them know how fortunate they are, and then maybe even put a dollar amount to some degree, what it costs to, you know, facilitate paper goods in a school, maybe that'll help. I don't know, but some of the things that I'd like to see curtailed, we've even talked to our newspaper about doing an article, our school newspaper about doing an article, and I think that has helped some. We did one, I think it was last year, and I do think they helped some, but I think peer pressure is a big factor in that. In other words, you've got two or three kids in the restroom, or say young adults in the restroom, and you have one that begins to demolish the restroom with the tissue or the towels or even graffiti. And if no one says anything, you know, it's no big deal. But if someone says something, and even to the student, much less going to the administration or staff, I think a lot of that can be curtailed. But, you know, issues of, you know, wasting supplies, you know, tearing dispensers off the wall, tearing locks off the doors, kicking doors, you know, all kind of things, you know. So once they're behind those closed doors, there are no cameras there, and for obvious reasons. And some of the kids, and it only takes one or two in a school, maybe three or four. They can wreak havoc on a school. You know, when you start talking about and adding up the cost and the labor of repairing locks on doors and, you know, replacing, and that's beside the fact that some of the stuff is made inexpensively. So when you add all that up, it's almost like a never-ending battle. In some schools, I'm sure it's better than others. So, but if the kids or the young adults would just hold one another accountable, because as Dr. Keaton has already said, a kid comes to school, eats breakfast, eats lunch. No one wants to go too much longer than that without being able to relieve themselves. No adult would. And so to expect a child to come in a learning environment and actually be his or her top performance in learning, all those things got to take place. You know, that wellness policy that Dr. Keaton spoke about, eating, exercising, and eliminating. That's something we need to talk about and press it upon our students, staff, and administrators. So, again, you know, the issue of tearing things up and just being wasteful, I don't think they fully understand the impact.
Donna, sure. Let me mention something that might help us and your audience in particular. About fourth or fifth grade, kids start to get a little rambunctious in middle school and high school. And yet, if you concentrate just on the people who are doing the bad things and miss the 40% of the middle and high school kids not using it or the 50% who go in and hold their nose, you don't get there. There was a book written called It's No Accident. And it was written, it's on my webpage, and that's at www.projectclean.us. And there was a chapter in there about bathroom rules. And on page 150, there's a very good story about a fourth and fifth grade school where the dean of students introduced to every fourth and fifth grader Miss Pat, who was the custodian at the school. And he introduced her and showed all the things that students caused that Miss Pat had to clean up. And he began making Miss Pat a human figure. Too often, students look at the custodian as just someone to clean up after them. They don't know their first and last names. And if you know Mr. Roberts and you know his family and you can listen to him, so this school really emphasized the importance of the people involved. And lo and behold, letters were written to Miss Pat apologizing. Posters were made. There's a beautiful one on page 151 of a toilet and a ring of a Target. It says, "Don't miss or the custodian you'll diss." And that simply means if you urinate all over the seat, who do you think cleans that up? It's a human being with a Johnny mop and with a towel and with a rag and with supplies and so forth. So I think one of the keys to work with these young adults, as Rod has explained them, is to teach them consequences and to humanize the relationship between the students and the custodians. And I think the custodians have to learn the names of kids and to say, "Nice sweater, how's it going, what's going on, sorry you lost the football game." And pretty soon, these are all adults working on something that is critical to everybody because everybody poops.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, of course, you know, when I go into some of the schools and we talk about bathroom etiquette during the school etiquette piece, one of the things talking about, you know, who cleans up behind them, I always tell them, you know, if you sprinkle when you tinkle, please be neat and clean seat, you know.
Excellent.
Just more than just a rhyme, it's something they actually need to do that kind of helps hit home with them to make sure. And just let me say that for the thousands of students who are certainly demonstrating good school and bathroom etiquette, thank you so much for doing that. We certainly do appreciate you for doing that, and we know that you are a role model, and we're hoping that the people who think that people are supposed to clean up after them will just kind of take note at what you're doing. And thank you so much for that. In a little, gosh, can't believe it, we're almost out of time, but for those of you who may be listening live, we are going to lose you in about a minute and a half. We're going to go ahead and continue the show until we conclude, and you will be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety because all of the shows are archived. Also would like to suggest, if you are listening for the first time, you want to go back and listen to part one and part two of the show, which they are also linked on the page on today as well. But, you know, like we were saying, the reason that we even do the back-to-school etiquette series is just so to make sure that the children can be in a situation where they are very, you know, they're comfortable, they're getting what they need. We've talked about, you know, children over and over again. The reason why Dr. Tom even started this is because of his son. He used to hold it all day. He'd come in, run past everything, and just go straight to the bathroom. And I can remember my son doing the same thing. They just, you know, would say, "Oh, I didn't use the bathroom at school because it's so dirty." So we want to make sure that, you know, that's kind of fixed, and it can only really be fixed by the students and taking pride. When you're talking about, you know, school pride, that is certainly something very important, and that's something that also should be can and should be taught by the parents once again. And, of course, if that is taught by the parents, then the administration, all they have to do is reinforce that. So hopefully there will be something there to reinforce. I do have another, when I get to this one, it says, "Dear etiquette lady and guests, who is responsible for the conditions of the bathrooms in parks and recreation centers? I heard Dr. Tom mention the recreation centers. Anytime I've used the restroom in these places, I've never seen anyone cleaning these buildings." And this comes from Nancy in Dayton, Ohio. Thank you, Nancy, for that question.
That's a great question. It depends on your community. For example, in some communities, there's a separate department of the city government or county government. However, the public works department might be the one that cleans the recreation center buildings or the parks outside if they have a restroom outside. So one department might be running the program and the finances, another department cleaning. It's up to your listener and all listeners to find out and to get involved locally to see who is responsible for public restrooms, both their design, their maintenance, and their cleanliness in libraries, parks, recreation centers, swimming pools, and public transportation. But the key part and the key reason why I think Mr. Roberts is and the custodial staff are so important is these same young adults leave the middle and high schools and go to those five other public restrooms. So if they don't know who the custodian is at school where they have to be all day long, you can bet they don't know who the custodian is if two departments are involved in Ohio. So it's upon all of us to really help these students and lead them from soap, hand-washing soap, to citizenship. And they can forget about the presidential election for a while and learn their local officials and their local partners like their custodians and their plant engineers. And that's what we really should stress as a part of this etiquette session number three, Donna.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you both once again for joining us, Dr. Tom Keating and Rod Roberts. Thank you so much for taking time, you know, out of your schedule today. This has just been a great series, and we will continue our series on next week. We're going to kind of look at some other areas in the building. We're going to also have someone on who is going to talk about how to, you know, be successful in the classroom this school year as well. So our series will continue. Of course, each week we always ask you to initiate kindness.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
Okay, this week it says, "Etiquette Lady, thank you for having such an inspirational, important topic on your show. For my kindness report, the room parents in my child's elementary school decided to bring soap, tissue, and towels to last for at least 2 months. They asked parents to donate paper, pencils, etc. But after listening to your show over the last 2 weeks, for the kids' sake, we thought we would add those items to the list as well." And this is Miss Mary, third grade room parent in Atlanta, Georgia. Very good, Miss Mary. That is certainly a kind thing that you all are doing, just to kind of help her tell of having, or I guess missing, some of these items. So kudos to you. And we do ask you to go, you know, if you would like, we ask you to feel free to share your kindness reports with us. And listeners, I do apologize for the background noises that you've heard throughout this show. We certainly do apologize for that. Thanks again for supporting our show and listening. Everyone who sent us messages, those joining us for the first time, and our loyal listeners who tune in each and every week to our show. Remember, if you have an etiquette question, if you have an etiquette topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know. I want you to remember also the golden rule, which is to treat others the way you want to be treated. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. After all, we know that our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, and we know that we can only do that one person at a time. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And once again, please be sure to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk again next week. Good night. Take care and God bless.
Good night.
You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.